My recollection was that in this now famous 2¼-page document, there were about 35 names listed. This is pretty serious. Have we had anything as serious as this so far?
Oh, yes, I think we've got something much more serious right now. Right at this
moment. I'm talking about prior to this hearing.
May I answer that question, Mr. Chairman? I think we've got a much more serious situation now in communist infiltration of the CIA. Disturbs me beyond words.
Well, we haven't. The members of the committee have not been advised, and I do think that...
Mr. Cohn, what is the exact number of communists or subversives that are loose today in these defense plants?
The exact number that is loose, sir?
Yes, sir.
I don't know.
Roughly how many?
I can only tell you, sir, what we know about.
Well, that's 130, is that right?
Yes, sir. I'm going to try to particularize for you if I can.
I'm in a hurry. I don't want the sun to go down while they're still in there if we can get them out.
I'm afraid we won't be able to work that
well. Place. I've got a suggestion about it, sir. How many are there?
I believe the figure is approximately 130.
Approximately 130.
Yes, sir. Those are people, Mr. Welch.
I don't care. You've told us who they are. And how many plants are they?
How many plants? Yes, sir. Just 1 minute, sir. I see 16 offhand.
16 plants. Are you alarmed at that situation, Mr. Cole?
Yes, sir, I am.
Nothing could be more alarming, could it?
Certainly a very alarming thing.
Will you not, before the sun goes down, give those names to the FBI and at least have those men put under surveillance?
Sir, if there is need for surveillance in case of espionage or anything like that, I can well assure you that Mr. John Edgar Hoover and his men know a lot better than I, and I might respectfully suggest, sir, than probably a lot of us, just who should be put under surveillance. I do not propose to tell the FBI how to run its shop.
And they do it, don't they, Mr. Cohn?
When the need arises, of course.
Then they've got the whole 130, have they, Mr. Cohn?
I am sure of it, sir, and a lot more.
Well, then what's all the excitement about if J. Edgar Hoover is on the job chasing these 130 communists?
Mr. Welch, all the excitement...
Well, then as a second line of defense, let's send the 130 names to the Department of Defense tonight. Would you mind doing that?
Whatever the committee directs on that, sir,
I wish the committee would direct that all the names be sent both to the FBI and to the Department of Defense with extreme suddenness.
Mr. Chairman, I so move.
In view of Mr. Welch's request that the information be given once we know of anyone who might be performing any work for the Communist Party, I think we should tell him that he has in his law firm a young man named Fisher, whom he recommended, incidentally, to do the work in this committee, who has been for a number of years a member of an organization which was named, years and years ago, as the legal bulwark of the Communist Party, an organization which always springs to the defense of anyone who dares to expose communists. I certainly assume that Mr. Welch did not know of this young man at the time. He recommended him as the assistant counsel for this committee, but he has such terror and such a great desire to know where anyone is located who may be serving the communist cause, Mr. Welch, and I thought we should just call to your attention the fact that your Mr. Fisher, who is still in your law firm today, whom you asked to have down here looking over the secret and classified material, is a member of an organization not named by me, but named by various committees, named by the Attorney General, as I recall. And I think I quote this verbatim as the legal bulwark of the Communist Party. I have been rather bored with your phony request to Mr. Cohen here that he personally get every communist out of government before sundown. Therefore, we will give you the information about the young man in your own organization. Now, I'm not asking you at this time to explain why you tried to foist him on this committee that you did the committee knows. Whether you knew that he was a member of that communist organization or not, I don't know. I assume you did not, Mr. Welch, because I get the impression that while you are quite an actor, you play for a laugh, I don't think you have any conception of the danger of the Communist Party.
Mr. Chairman, Welch, the chair should say that he has no recognition, no memory of Mr. Welch recommending either Mr. Fisher or anybody else as counsel for this committee.
I will put on the record, Mr. Chairman, the news story on that.
Under these circumstances, I must myself have something approaching a personal privilege.
You may have it, sir.
Senator McCarthy, I did not know Senator. Senator, sometimes you say, may I have your attention?
I'm listening. You said Senator McCarthy didn't know.
May I have your attention?
I can listen in one ear and talk
now, this time, sir, I want you to listen with both.
All right, good.
Senator McCarthy, I think until this moment...
Just a minute, let me ask Jim, when you get the news story, the effect that this man belongs to this Communist Front organization...
Will you get the citations,
what are the citations showing that this was the... legal arm of the Communist Party and the length of time that he belonged, the fact that he was recommended to Mr. Welch. I think that should be in the record.
Senator,
Chair recognizes you.
You won't need anything in the record when I finish telling you this. Until this moment, Senator, I think I never really gauged your cruelty or your recklessness. Fred Fisher is a young man who went to the Harvard Law School and came into my firm and is starting what looks to be a brilliant career with us. When I decided to work for this committee, I asked Jim St. Clair, who sits on my right, to be my first assistant. I said to Jim, pick somebody in the firm to work under you that you would like. He chose Fred Fisher, and they came down on an afternoon plane. That night, when we had taken a little stab at trying to see what the case is about, Fred Fisher and Jim St. Clair and I went to dinner together. I then said to these two young men, boys, I don't know anything about you except I've always liked you. But if there's anything funny in the life of either one of you that would hurt anybody in this case, you speak up quick. And Fred Fisher said, Mr. Welch, when I was in the law school, and for a period of months after, I belonged to the Lawyers Guild, as you have suggested, Senator. He went on to say, I am secretary of the Young Republicans League in Newton with the son of Massachusetts governor. And I have the respect and admiration of my community, and I'm sure I have the respect and admiration of the 25 lawyers or so in Hale and Dorr. And I said, Fred, I just don't think I'm going to ask you to work on the case. If I do, one of these days that will come out and go over national television, and it will just hurt like the dickens. And so, Senator, I asked him to go back to Boston. Little did I dream you could be so reckless and so cruel as to do an injury to that lad. It is true he is still with Hale and Dorr. It is true that he will continue to be with Hale and Dorr. It is, I regret to say, equally true that I fear he shall always bear a scar needlessly inflicted by you. If it were in my power to forgive you for your reckless cruelty, I would do so. I like to think I'm a gentleman, but your forgiveness will have to come from someone other than me.
Mr. Chairman, May I say that Mr. Welsh talks about this being cruel and reckless. He was just baiting. He has been baiting Mr. Cohen here for hours. Now, I just give this man's record, and I want to say, Mr. Welsh, that it has been labeled long before he became a member, as early as 1944.
Senator, may we not drop this? We know he belonged to the Lawyers Guild.
Let me finish.
And Mr. Cohen nods his head at me. I did you, I think, no personal injury, Mr. Cohen.
No, sir.
I meant to do you no personal injury. And if I did, I beg your pardon. Let us not assassinate this lad further, Senator. You've done enough. Have you no sense of decency, sir, at long last? Have you left no sense of decency?
I know this hurts you, Mr. Welsh.
May I say,
Mr. Chairman, as a point of personal privilege, I'd like to finish this.
Senator, I think it hurts you too, sir.
I'd like to finish this. Mr. Welsh here has been filibustering this hearing. It seems that Mr. Welsh is pained so deeply, he thinks it's improper for me to give the record, the Communist Front record, of the man whom he wanted to foist upon this committee. But it doesn't pain him at all. There's no pain in his chest about the unfounded charges against Mr. Frank Carr. There's no pain there about the attempt to destroy the reputation and the take the jobs away from the young men who are working in my committee. And Mr. Welch, if I have said anything here which is untrue, then tell me. I have heard you and everyone else talk so much about laying the truth upon the table that when I heard it was completely phony, Mr. Welch, I've listened to you now for a long time, this saying, now before sundown, you must get these people out of government. So that I just want to have it very clear that you were not so serious about that when you tried to recommend this man for this committee. And may I say, Mr. Welch, in fairness to you, I have reason to believe that you did not know about his Communist Front record at the time you recommended him. But the point is, Mr.
Chairman, I'd like to say again that he does not believe Mr. Welch recommended Mr. Fisher as counsel for this committee, because he had, through his office, all the recommendations which were made and does not recall any of them coming from Mr. Welch, and that would include Mr. Fisher.
Well, let me ask Mr. Welch. You brought him down, did you not, to act as your assistant?
Mr. McCarthy, I will not discuss this further with you. You have sat within 6 feet of me and could have asked me about Fred Fisher. You have seen fit to bring it out, and if there is a God in heaven, it will do neither you nor your cause any good. I will not discuss it further. I will not ask Mr. Cohen any more witnesses. You, Mr. Chairman, may, if you will, call the next witness.
Are there any questions to come from the member of the chair?
Here's something that neither Secretary Stevens nor I have much to do with. The charge by the junior senator from Wisconsin that we've had another year of treason under President Eisenhower. The charge that the CIA is infiltrated, infested with communists. The charge that the Department of Defense is full of communists. The charge that the Department of Justice, that the Attorney General of the Department of Justice, is something phony about him. And the charge that the hydrogen bomb plants and the atomic bomb plants are full of communists. Well, where do we go from here as the American people? It would appear some of us want to end up in this country with just plain anarchy.
Will he, Symington, be willing to go under oath, the same as the rest of us are going under oath, the same as I have gone under oath and will go under oath, same as Republicans have gone under oath, and tell us the truth of what part he had to play with this, if he will merely consent to go on the stand and tell us why and how it happened that, number one, he got the political advisor of the Democrat Party to guide undercover the Republican Secretary of the Army, and number two, while our friend Sanctimonious Stew was advising...
Senator McCarthy, I resent that number. My first name.
Was advising...
You better go to a psychiatrist. I want no psychological bribes from you.
Accordingly, I propose we agree on the following points. One, you will agree to an investigation by a committee of the Senate. I will agree to take the stand in the present proceedings and to testify as to events preceding the institution of these hearings. I trust that you will confirm your agreement with this program. If you are in accord, please sign as indicated below. Senator, here's the letter, and if you will sign it, then we can get this matter settled.
Mr. Symington, I'm glad we're on television. I think the millions of people can see how low that a man can sink. I repeat, they can see how low an alleged man can sink. He's been asked here to come before the committee and give the information which he has in regard to this investigation. He retorts by saying that he wants all of the old smears investigated. Now, may I say this, Mr. Chairman? If that is necessary in order to get Symington on the stand, that will be done.
Sign the letter,
I will
Senator.
Not sign the letter with
sign
false statements.
Sign the letter. Very simple. In the record.
Mr.
All you have to do is sign it.
Don't pull that phony thing on
sign
me.
Sign the letter.
One at a time.
There it is, Senator. It's got my signature on it.
You have a document with false statements in it. I will not sign and agree that's true. Now, don't...
Mr. Chairman, you're not fooling anyone, Mr. Symington. Senator, let me tell you something.
The American people
have had a look at you for 6 weeks. You're not fooling anyone either.
Personal privilege, you gave Mr. Symington the right to ask one question. I do want to raise that point before we leave this afternoon.
I'll raise it briefly, then, because we have to adjourn to the vote.
I will raise it as briefly as I can, but may I say that Senator Symington has been here by innuendo trying to smear this staff of young men who have been working to dig out communists. He's talking about what might happen if there were a subversive on the staff. I would like to ask him now, even though he's not under oath, whether he has any information at all of any kind to justify this attempted smear against these 14 young men who have done such an excellent job uncovering communists. If he has no information, then he should be honest enough to tell us. If he has information, he should take the stand and take the oath as these young men have been taking it. Now, may I ask you, Senator, do you have any information to indicate that there is anyone on my staff who is subversive, as you have indicated in your questioning?
Senator Symington, answer the question, and we're going to have to recess for the vote.
I will answer that question this way, Senator McCarthy. In all the years that I have been in this government, based on the testimony that's been given before this committee under oath, I think the files of what you call my staff, my director, my chief of staff, have been the sloppiest and most dangerously handled files that I have ever known of since I've been in the government.
Mr. Chairman, now you can run away if you like, Stu. You can run away if you like. You have been here trying to smear the staff of this committee. The young men who have been working to uncover communists, you jump up and run away without answering the question. I have asked you a simple question. Do you have any evidence of any kind to indicate that there's any subversive amongst these young men? If not, you are leaving here this afternoon, leaving a smear upon the name of each and every one of them. You shouldn't do that, Mr. Symington. That's just dishonest. That's the thing that the Communist Party has been doing too long.
Apparently, every time anybody says anything against anybody working for Senator McCarthy, he is slurring them and is he accusing them of communism.
Just answer the question. Do you know of any subversive?
The best answer that I can give you.
Do you know of any subversive?
Stand in recess until 10 o'clock.
The only answer you're going to get.
You won't answer whether you know of any subversive. Mr. Chairman, even though the chair is waving, I want to make this record. And Mr. Reporter, will you take this down? Mr. Symington, other members of the Democrat Party here have been intimating that they know of some subversive on the staff investigating communists. I have asked Mr. Symington point blank to tell us whether he knew of any such subversive. He runs away. He won't answer the question. May I say that that is the most dishonest, the most unfounded smear upon some of the most outstanding young men that I have ever seen work to uncover communists. And before this is over, the American people have a better picture of it. I guess we must go and vote now.